you are so much tougher. And that's what's been really cool about motherhood in general, is like learning how strong I am and how tough I am, and that God made women to be these miraculous people who do this miraculous thing. And it's truly unbelievable.
Getting pregnant and giving birth are two of the most exciting things you can ever hope to experience in this life. The moment you think you could be pregnant, you're frantically searching for all the best information, which is why you're here today. I'm Stephanie King, and with my many years of experience as a professional childbirth educator, doula, and lover of all things pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, I'm here to make preparing for your birth enjoyable, empowering, and totally easy. Each week, I'll cover different topics, interview professionals, and get into the nitty-gritty birth stories from mamas just like you. And when you're ready for more, you can join me in the My Essential Birth course at myessentialbirth.com, where I take you step by step through exactly how to prepare your mind, body, spirit, and partner for a birth you love. So let's get started. It's time. The My Essential Birth postpartum course is here. Whether you're pregnant, just got baby home, or weeks and months into postpartum, this is the course for you. No more wondering what's normal for your body postpartum, if baby's eating or pooping enough, or how to get a good latch. You now have an all-in-one resource where you can click a topic and get the answer. Learn more at myessentialbirth.com/postpartum and add it onto the My Essential Birth course for even less when you bundle them at checkout. Already in the course? Check your student library and add the course for the same discount. I can't wait to support you on your postpartum journey. You guys are going to love this. The reviewer of the week is 13021310241026717. And she says, incredible. She said, I just found this podcast at 16 weeks pregnant and wish I would have found it sooner. These women are doing incredible work by educating and providing women a resource to learn. Love their opinions and outlooks on birth with their honest experiences. The best podcast on pregnancy and birth. Well, thank you, Numbers is what I'm going to call you. I greatly appreciate that. I'm glad that you are listening in and gaining all of that knowledge and good information. And I'm excited. This week we have another birth story for you guys and another My Essential Birth Mama. So without further ado, Jamie, will you take a moment and introduce yourself, please?
Hi. Yeah, my name is Jamie Peterson. I am 30 years old. I live in Minnesota with my husband, Eric, my daughter, Noah, and my dog, Murphy. I was told I couldn't forget about him. We live in Minnesota. The weather's finally getting nicer. So yeah, that's kind of a little bit about me.
I love it. And then tell me a little bit about your pregnancy. What did that look like for you?
My pregnancy was pretty standard, pretty normal. Nothing super wild or crazy. I don't get me wrong. I hated being pregnant. I hated it. I was not one of those women who are like, oh my gosh, like this is the best. No, it was, there was just a lot of changes that I guess people tell you about, but I guess I wasn't actually ready for, like, oh, and now I can't eat, you know, a sandwich from Jimmy John's. Oh, my jeans don't fit me anymore. You know, all these little things where you're like, oh, you have these realizations, and it's just, it can be challenging. But outside of that, things, you know, were pretty straightforward. Extreme fatigue at the beginning. Again, I don't feel like anyone tells you about that part. I was so tired. All I wanted to do was lay on the couch, but, I had to work. I worked kind of all throughout my pregnancy. So I think too, going to work and getting out of the house made it easier. The fatigue was easier to handle when I was like doing something else rather than having the option to lay on the couch, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just like even like focusing on it, right? Like sitting there and thinking about it and thinking about how you're sick instead of like being distracted with something. Same thing works for labor sometimes, right? So yeah, I think distraction is a good thing. Did you have any concerns that came up during pregnancy? Anything from your providers, changing of due dates, induction, or comments about that? Anything like that?
No, the only thing that I had that was, I guess, a little bit concerning was I failed my glucose test, like, miserably, like, so bad. Yeah, I remember taking it the 1 hour and being like, okay, yeah, like, I got this. I'm going to go to Raising Cane's after. It's going to be great. We're going to celebrate my glucose test. And then I was sitting there and the nurse had left that little machine that they do the reading next to me. And I read the number off door. I'm like, hey, it's done. It says 186. She's like, oh no, honey. Like, no. It's supposed to, 130 or something like that. And so it was, I was like, I have diabetes, I was beside myself. And she's like, no, like, wait till the 3 hour, you'll be fine. And she was right. Once I took my 3 hour, I passed super easily. No problem with that. But like, yeah, we went on a diabetes protocol at my house for like 2 weeks. It was a lot, but I mean, that was really the only thing that was even remotely concerning, I suppose. But no, my blood pressure was pretty low, they said. No real talks of induction or anything like that. I did ask. I said, hey, just because I was concerned with timing for my job, I was like, hey, I don't want to go way over because my maternity leave has a start date and an end date. Like, what, and they're like, well, we probably won't induce you till you're at least 41 weeks. So, which was honestly kind of a test. Like, hey, what do you guys, it was kind of my way of asking them, like, hey, what's your guys' protocol with induction? And I mean, I like that. The answer seemed like the right one.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that you knew to ask. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your providers. What kind of provider did you choose? Were you in hospital, out of hospital? Did you interview some different providers or were you happy with yours from the beginning? What was that like for you?
So I knew I wanted to have my first baby in a hospital. I didn't really know any different, I guess. And so that was important to me. And so, that was important to me, to have a hospital birth just cause I didn't really know any better. And I was just kind of like, well, I just wanted to have all my safety nets in place. And so then I went to an OBGYN office and they have both OBs and midwives and NPs and PAs. And so I saw basically that's everybody, awesome. Honestly, except an OB. Like, I was like, I want to keep this as low intervention as I can. And so they were really helpful with that. And the downside, though, was that I had to meet a bunch of different providers. Like, I could stick with the same one if I wanted, the same midwife for every single appointment. But they were like, that one might not be the one who delivers your baby. So it might be advantageous to meet with everybody, which I did. And so I had my favorites and my not so favorites. And there was actually an NP that I really liked. And I was like, can you deliver this? Can you just make an exception and deliver my baby? And she's like, absolutely not. But yeah, I really liked my providers. They were all really understanding. And it was kind of that post-COVID era where, things were a little bit weird, but overall they were really understanding and did a great job.
Yeah, that's awesome. How about your birth partner? How was he supportive? Was he like, was there any questions that he had going in? You said like low intervention and stuff. Did you want to go unmedicated? Was he supportive of that? Like, what did it look like for you guys working together?
I always knew that I wanted to at least try to have an unmedicated birth. I wanted to get the information, gather as much as I could, and do my best to have that be the reality. And I told that to my husband and he was like, all right. My husband is very supportive, but I joke that thank goodness that pregnancy lasts 9 months because it took him 9 months to learn how to support me and for me 9 months to learn how to be supported by him. Definitely at the beginning, it was challenging because I don't look pregnant, but I am acting pregnant. Like, I am so tired. All I want to do is lay on the couch. And he'd kind of be like, are you going to move today or no? Like, and it was never like, it was never like mean, but it was like, oh, you really don't get it. And I can say all the things like, yeah, I don't feel good, but I don't look any different. And I remember too, one time, it was August at this point, and I was probably like
6 weeks pregnant, feeling like garbage and not wanting any food, like nothing sounds good. He made a beautiful like pot roast in August. In August in general, I was like, what are you doing? But then the fact that I didn't eat it, he was like, we had these little funny things like back and forth that just, yeah, it was, but no, I mean, when I told him my goals of having an unmedicated birth, I could tell he really respected that and wanted to do anything he could to help facilitate that and be a part of that. Cause yeah, I mean, he's always been supportive in everything that I've done. So I knew this would be no different.
That's awesome. I think that is huge. Like one less thing to have to worry about when, and I feel like we're going to use that as a quote the week this comes out, where you were talking about it took 9 months for him to know how to support me and 9 months to know how to be supported by him. I think that is like, there's wisdom in the statement that you made right there. And I think that's absolutely true of every couple. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
Will you tell me a little bit about your preparation? What did you do? Obviously, you're my essential birth course student. I want to hear kind of maybe when you jumped into that, how many weeks you were, if you and your birth partner, you know, did this together, all of that. Like, what was your daily? What did the daily stuff look like for you? What really made a difference? What did that look like?
So I think I started listening to the podcast first. I think that was like right around like 12 weeks, like pretty early on. And so I just kind of started to get my feet wet, like, okay, here's what we're doing. And the whole time I'm like, no, like I don't need the birth course. Like I'm going to listen to all these episodes. And then like, as time went on, I would listen, you know, to the things that you guys had recommended. And, but I wasn't really taking action until probably like the 30 week mark. And then I was kind of like, okay, time to start doing some stuff. So I had to look at when I purchased the birth course. It was January 31st. And so that was a little less than 8 weeks until my due date. And so I bought it and I was like, Eric, have a seat. We've got some stuff to go through. So that's kind of birth course what I did. We would watch it every night when I got home from work. I would sit on one of those like bouncy birth balls the whole time and kind of do my figure eights and my hip stuff. And that's where I watched it. We'd spend about an hour to an hour and a half at night watching those together. And two, I think another really big thing that I did for preparation was I visited a Webster certified chiropractor starting at, I think really early on to like, again, 12 weeks. And that was like so important. So I did that. And then, yeah, so the squats. I wasn't a forward-leaning inversion. I couldn't do it. I could not do it. It was too much head rush, but I tried. But squatting, and I never really made it to, you guys were like, yeah, you should be able to spend, you know, upwards of like 10 minutes in these squats. And I was not, I made it about 2 minutes, but I did it often. I also walked a ton. My mom and sister and I would walk at our local community center at least 3 times a week for like an hour, hour and a half each time. My sister was pregnant as well. So that was kind of nice to,
oh, how fun.
Yeah. Go through that together. And so walked and walked and walked. And then toward like the 35 week mark, I was starting to get really big and I was like, I got to be done with work, all that kind of stuff. So then my maternity leave, I think, started when I was like 37, 38 weeks. So then I was going to the chiropractor more often and I started acupuncture at that point. So the acupuncture was kind of, hey, can we kind of try to get things moving a little bit? We also hired a doula on March 3rd, and I was due March 18th. It was one of those things where I was like, I want to do every single thing I can to succeed at this goal. And so it was more so, I mean, I wanted my husband to have a way to support me because I wasn't sure I was going to be able to tell him how I needed to be supported. So the doula was a good way for to bridge kind of the communication gap between my husband and I, likely when I would be in like raging labor, that was kind of what I was picturing, if she would be able to kind of help everybody help each other, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Was that accurate for you?
No.
No. Okay. Mm-mm. I love it. We all have our plans, right? And then we go into labor. Well,
yes. And our doula was a sweet, oh, bless her soul. But no, birth did not go how I had planned.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Okay. So you talked about, did you happen to do any of the relaxation practice, meditations? Did you do any of that stuff?
Yes, a little bit. I really liked the affirmations. That was something that I listened to a lot. Like, my body was made to birth. Like, my baby and I are safe. All that kind of stuff was really cool. The actual meditations, I've never been able to successfully meditate. I couldn't get out of my own head to just lay there and chill. So I tried, but that really wasn't for me. The frozen bag of peas for the labor practice, my husband and I did that. I think he liked that part. That was funny. So to answer your question, kind of, but that wasn't like something that was a major thing for me.
Okay. Was there anything specific that you did for your mental space in preparation? You talked about affirmations. Was there anything else in the way of communication or how you were thinking about things or talking to your baby that really helped you?
I felt like at nighttime when I would wake up in the middle of the night and like she wouldn't be moving or something, or I don't know, like I would just not really feel her. It was more so I would talk to God, who I felt like would then talk. It was like me, my baby, and God. We were like this little, you know, this little tripod. But yeah, I mean, not really. I didn't really feel like I communicated that way, but I definitely would pray about her a ton because I had a lot of anxiety. Pregnancy is an anxiety provoking thing. There's just so much that can go wrong. There's so much. And so or just your mind can just race and you just get to this place where you're in your own head because your husband's not pregnant. He doesn't know what you're going through. And, you know, and so that was, I think I leaned a lot on prayer at that point too. And that made me feel really comfortable.
Yeah, I like that. How about leading up? You talked about acupuncture. Did you happen to do any like red raspberry leaf or evening primrose, anything to prep yourself that way?
I crushed the red raspberry leaf tea for sure. That was like every night, probably starting at like 32 weeks, I would guess. 34. I don't know. Whenever they say to do it is, I think right around where I started doing that. I also did the harvesting of the colostrum. I tried that a little bit. That was interesting. That was more so like, I think, to keep me busy because it's kind of an interesting thing. But yes, the red raspberry leaf tea I did. I still eat these granola bars that have dates in them. So that was that. But no, I mean, yeah, the tea definitely.
I love it. Okay, take me through your birth from that very first contraction until you gave birth.
Yes. Okay, so, well, let's start at like 36 weeks. I went in and the whole cervical check thing, that was a big thing for me. I was like, do I, don't I, what's gonna, you know. So my first one, I was like, go for it. Check me, see what happens. And it kind of hurt. And I was like, at the same time, it was an NP actually who was doing it. My NP and I both go, whoa, at the same time, because I was like, oh, I was uncomfortable. But she was also like, whoa. She was like, you're already 2.5 centimeters dilated. Like, wow. She was like, she said these words, I would jump for joy if I had your cervix. And I was like, thank you. That was encouraging. So then that was kind of, and then like 38 weeks that we tried a membrane sweep, and I think I was like 3, 3.5 at that point. And then the midwife looked at me who did my membrane sweep and she's like, you're going to have a baby this weekend. Like, get ready. I didn't have a baby. Like, there was no baby. So
they should never say that.
Well, right. I know, because they were just so sure. Right. So whatever. So by 39 weeks, I'm now off maternity, or I'm on maternity leave, 39 weeks and like 5 days. I'm like, this baby, I need this baby to come out of me because I'm already off work and then I have to go back to work on the same day, no matter what. So I'd rather spend time with her. So, you know, I'm doing my chiropractor, my acupuncture. I had both of those that morning. And then I had a trip to the OB office at like 3:30 that day. And then I told my mom, hey, I'll meet you at this local bar in Excelsior for what they call a labor inducer burger. I'm like, at this point, why not? Like, let's do it. So her, my husband, and my dog, they were all going to meet us there. It was going to be great. I'm like, yeah, I just got to run to my appointment really quick. No worries. See you guys in a bit. Yeah. So I went in and she's like, how you doing? I'm like, you know, I'm sick of being pregnant. And she was like, okay, well, you know, we can do a membrane sweep. And I'm like, well, last one didn't work. So, you know, whatever. And she was like, okay, well, do you want me to check you? I'm like, go for it. Like, why don't you check me? If you feel like a membrane sweep is really going to do the trick, then go for it. Let's do it. So she checked me and she was like, oh, you're 5.5 centimeters dilated. And I was like, okay, do you think a membrane sweep's going to work? And she's like, it should. I have pretty good luck with them. And I was like, okay, go for it then. I mean, what are the downsides? And she said, well, it could break your water, but I mean, I doubt it. And so I said, okay, well, go for it. The minute she went for it, my water was everywhere, gushing. Oh. It gushes out of you. And I'm like, oh, and we both just kind of looked at each other like, ugh. And so prior to that, she had listened to my baby's heart rate on the Doppler. And she was like, you know, it's a little low or something was concerning. And so I want to monitor her for a while after we do your membrane sweep. Okay, well, now I have water all over the floor. It's like running underneath the doorway into the clinic.
Oh my
like
goodness.
It was, yeah. And so at this point, it's like 4 p.m., right? 4 p.m. She's like, okay, I still want to hook you up. I still want to listen to the baby and all. Okay, sounds good. And so she has me hooked up and I'm like, do you mind if I call my husband? Because he was at his parents' house getting our dog. And so I call him and he's like, oh my word, I'm on my way. You know, so he's rushing. I'm just chilling on the table while they're listening to the heart rate. And he's not there yet. And he calls me. He's like, I'll be right there. I'm at the split. And I'm like, what split are you talking about? He thought I was at the other location. So he drove past me. And so that was a whole thing. So he was a little late to getting there, but that's okay. So I was just sitting there and they would come back in and kind of check on the monitor. And she said, you're having contractions. Like, do you feel them? And I'm like, no, not really. And so then she was like, okay, well, you know, the baby's heart rate is dipping at areas in your contractions where we don't love it. So I think you should go to the hospital. And I was texting with my doula at that point and she's like, whatever you do, don't let them make you go to the hospital. And so I'm like, you know, like who's right here? And so ultimately I kind of sat there and prayed about it and just kind of thought about it. And I'm like, I'm going to go to the hospital because that's what felt right to me. And that's what it kind of seemed like it was the right move. So we finally left the clinic at like 4:30 to in the 15 minutes to the hospital. And so I have all these towels wrapped around me and I'm going to the hospital with my husband and we're in the car and I'm on the phone with my brother-in-law telling him where everything is. And I'm having like little contractions, but nothing crazy. So we get there and they're like, oh yeah, we've been expecting you. Come on in. They don't take me to triage or anything like that. And so the nurse just kept saying like, okay, get settled in. Life is good. Get settled in. We'll keep checking on you in a little bit. Just get settled in. And I'm like, okay. So we get there at like 5:30, I'd say. She's like, yep, order dinner. It's going to be great. So then she comes back to place like an IV in me. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was like, I don't want anything crazy. Or, you know, and she goes, yep. She goes, it's, you know, kind of asked me a few other questions like, okay, you know, do you want XYZ, all these other like interventions, or are you opposed? And I was like, you know what? I want to do it as unmedicated and low intervention as possible. And then she shared that she had the same experience when she birthed her baby. So then I was like, oh, I'm in great hands. Like this girl knows what's up. So then she placed an IV and I was like, I don't want to be hooked up to anything. And she's like, nope, I won't hook you up to a thing. Don't worry about it. So then I had some big contractions when she was doing that. And again, though, she was like, yep, get settled in. I'll see you guys later. So then at like 6 o'clock, I'm like, oh, okay, wow, I'm not getting a break from these. Like, I thought we could time them. Like, we're not timing them. Like, what, you know? And so then I send a picture to my friend at 6:10 and I said, like, this is no fun. And it was a selfie of me. And I was like, this is awful. So then all of a sudden I'm like, oh no, this is getting bad. So my doula said, when you want her to come to the hospital, that's when you need to call her. So I called her and I said, hi, I'm officially requesting your presence at the hospital. And she said, okay. She goes, well, stay on the phone for a little bit. I just want to hear kind of where you're at with things. And I had a contraction. She goes, oh, okay, I'm coming. She was like, why don't you have them put you in a bath and I'll be right there. Sounds good. So I told my husband, I was like, call the nurses in immediately. And so they came in, they're like, hey, what's up? Like, it's only been an hour. Like, what are you up to? And I was like, I'm dying. I would like a bath. And she goes, okay, great. She goes and turns on the water. She's like, you know what? Let's check you first before you get in the water. Mm-hmm. Just to make sure. She checks me and she goes, okay, you are at a 9. There is no bath for you. And so I'm like, oh, okay. You know, like, and up until that point, I'd been having contractions. And the only thing that worked, I mean, my husband's like, do you want this ball? No. Peanut ball? No. Him touching me? No. Like all the things I thought I would, want, none of it. So then all I could do was like drape my hands over his shoulders and just hang there. Like, cause he's like 6'2" or so. And so I would just hang my hands over his shoulders and just like breathe through it. And it was bad, but like, yeah, I was like, there's no way this is as bad as it gets. And that's what I kept thinking is like, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. And so then I was at a 9 and I'm like, okay, you know? And so then Eric, my husband, said that at that point, he's like, I swear, people came rushing in. Lights were dropping from the ceiling. Keep in mind, my doula isn't here yet. So, yeah. So the midwife came in and she said, great, it's time to push. Like, let's do it. So then I started pushing, and that was probably at like 6:45, I would say. And I didn't really know how to push. I was like making noise and they were like, hey, push your baby down and out. Don't let any noise come out of your mouth. And I was like, okay. So I tried one. I was like tried to just really like think down and out. And they were like, that was great. And I remember saying, well, that wasn't that bad. I can do it again. You know? And so I just kind of kept going. And there was one point back to like my daughter's heart rate. There was one point where the nurse put one of those like little monitors on me because I wasn't wearing anything. And she put one on me and she goes, are we okay with this heart rate? And I was like, oh no. And so then I started to get a little bit worried, just internally. I didn't say anything, but then I was like, okay, I got it. It was kind of motivating for me to push her out. Mm-hmm. And then at 7:10, she was here. So my water broke at 4:10. She was here at 7:10.
That was going to be my question. What was the time of your water breaking? That's crazy. And this is your first baby.
Correct. And so that's why when I was like, excuse me, nurses, they were all like, hey, listen, we did not expect you to go this quickly. Like it was, you know, yeah, they were kind of all just like, what in the world?
And I imagine too, because it sounds like you were so calm. The way that you're explaining, it's like, yes, contractions were heavy, but I was expecting something worse. So I just kept moving through them, or even pushing like, oh, that wasn't so bad. I can do that again, especially from a first time mom. I mean, that's interesting.
I think I was just expecting, I mean, and I'm not here to say it's easy at all, but I was kind of like, It's only going to get worse. I think because of the timing. Part of me wonders if I ever had that classic like 24-hour labor, like, could I have made it unmedicated? I don't know. But the 3-hour really short period of time was pretty nice.
Yeah, that's really neat. Were there things that you were doing during your contractions that made them easier for you? Kind of self-talk you were doing? Were you swaying your hips, moving around? Were you just in the bed? How did you work through contractions?
I definitely just tossed my hands over my husband's shoulders and then I did kind of sway my hips. So I was kind of at like a 90 degree angle, almost maybe more like a, I don't know, 120, I guess, and like swaying my hips, and that helped.
Yeah, that's a big one. I mean, that's like a constant that you hear from moms, right? Movement is huge. And I love the idea of hanging too, bringing your belly forward and constant movement. That's really awesome. Yeah. Do you want to take a moment and talk about your postpartum? I mean, was everything good with baby? Was it immediate skin to skin? Did you have anything planned postpartum that way?
Immediate skin to skin. She latched right away. That was amazing. We had made that clear that we wanted delayed cord clamping. And she came out, and bless my husband's soul, it was very funny looking back now. But the provider was like, okay, Dad, you want to cut the cord? He doesn't say boo. Like, he's so sweet. He goes, I thought we were supposed to wait. And she goes, we've waited long enough. Like, it's done pulsing. And I still don't really believe her, but it felt like 30 seconds. But yeah, so then that was good. My stitches were horrible. They had to have like multiple people come in and do my stitches. I had like a second degree tear, but yeah, everything was good. She was healthy. I was up and walking right away. Just kind of like, okay, what now?
That's really neat. How about your husband? Were there certain things that he did during the labor process that were really encouraging or helpful, or you felt really grateful for? And it can be just that he was there, but was there anything like that?
I think just that he was there. And he's just not an emotional guy in general. Like, and so just knowing how proud he was of me and having him tell me, like, hey, I'm really proud of you, was really cool. And yeah, like, I'm like, I'm gonna cry. He was like, just like thinking back, like he was like just tearing up, and like you could just tell, like he and I, we brought us so much closer together, and it was really cool, even though it only lasted like, I don't know, what felt like 45 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's really neat. There's nothing like it. I mean, you can't describe it to anybody in a way that will ever make any sense until you're there doing it. But yeah, it is extremely bonding. I love that you had that experience. Yeah. You know that I like to end these episodes. I love to talk about what's your best advice for moms and best advice for dads that you could think of. So with that in mind, let us know what you're thinking.
Best advice for moms, I would say, would be just get as much information as you can. As anxiety provoking as it can be sometimes, it's also super empowering. So then at that point, like, you're feeling empowered, but if it doesn't go your way, and you do end up having to get an epidural or going against something that you had thought would be your plan, you can at least feel like you did your best. You left nothing else on the table and you came in there, you know, as prepared as you could be. Yeah. But I think if you prepare, I can only attribute how positive and great my birth was to the preparation that I did and that I learned about on this podcast. I also want to do like a 1A, a little like for, I want to do 2 is what I'm trying to say. also, like, you are so much tougher than you know. And that carries on through like being a mom. Childbirth is hard and it's tough, but oh my word, you are tougher. You are so much tougher. Having a baby is hard. Breastfeeding, pumping, whatever is hard, but you are so much tougher. And that's what's been really cool about motherhood in general, is like learning how strong I am and how tough I am, and that God made women to be these miraculous people who do this miraculous thing. And it's truly unbelievable. I love it so much. I've become so passionate about birth after having the experience that I had and getting all this information. I hope every pregnant person listens to podcasts and does all this, because it was so rewarding. Okay, now for dads. Your wife is tougher than you think she is. But just because she is doesn't mean that you shouldn't, you know, acknowledge that or be sympathetic. And yeah, I kind of get it though. Like, it's gotta be hard being a guy. And that's what my husband said too. He's like, it was just so hard seeing you in those moments where I couldn't do anything, you know, other than be there to support you. Like, I would love to take your pain away. I would love to go through it myself, but you feel helpless. And so that's a whole nother thing that they kind of have to work through, is feeling like, what can I really do? You know? And I mean, and we do try to find ways that they can help. And again, my husband was more than supportive, but, yeah, I would just say listening to your partner, because there is a true like intuition and just feelings that we get as mothers. And I think if your partner has a goal of doing, you know, an unmedicated birth or an, a home birth or whatever, I think just respecting that and honoring that and doing absolutely everything you can to support her is great.
Yeah, I think that's excellent advice for both moms and dads. I just realized as we're sitting here chatting, did your doula ever make it to your birth?
She made it. She made it when I was pushing. And bless her soul, she came in and she's like, hey, Jamie, you said you wanted to push on all fours. You're on your back. Should we move you? And I was like, no, I can't move. Like this is, and she goes, let me help you. And so she moved me onto all fours. She talked me through. She was really great, like with her words. And she was just so cool. She was like, you are creating space for this baby. Like just kind of was framing birth in ways that I had never thought about before. And like really giving you like a visual of what birth is and what was actually happening in my body, which was great. So she was there by my bedside when I was pushing. I bet she got there at like probably 6:58 and I had her at 7:10. Yeah. So she also took pictures of us on my iPhone, and then she also helped with breastfeeding. And then, oh, I also encapsulated my placenta. So she helped with facilitating that. And then she kind of peaced out, and but it was cool because she came back and visited us, and she watched our baby for like an hour when we were home so that we could take a shower and stuff. And so, yeah, she kind of had like a, we had like a kind of a reunion of sorts a couple weeks in. And so that was fun to kind of rehash everything.
That's awesome. Will you take a moment actually and just talk about the placenta encapsulation and if you ended up using it, enjoying it, what your thoughts are on that for other moms listening?
Yeah. So I did the placenta encapsulation. I found a really great company who like comes and gets it from the hospital and like then delivers everything to your door, packages it really cute and stuff like that. It was good. I used the pills. They made them the little capsules, and it's really hard to say. I did not suffer from any postpartum depression, anxiety at all, really. And so my thought process was kind of like, well, what can it hurt? You know, if anything, yeah, it's going to help. So for that reason, I went for it. It definitely like felt a little bit strange. They didn't taste great, obviously, but I definitely don't think it hurt. I would say it helped if anything. It made me feel like I was doing, again, everything that I could to have a successful experience postpartum, except make sure you take your stool softeners. Don't give up on those early. I didn't know that part. No one told me that part. And I was like, oh, why do I have to take these? And then I kind of started to realize like, oh, okay. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. But yeah, I would recommend placenta encapsulation if you're comfortable with it. That was the thing. My husband was like, okay, really? So then I had him listen to the episode, the podcast episode, and was like, ah, let's try it, you know? So yeah, there was really no downside. So I'm glad I did it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Jamie. Thank you for your story and for your wisdom and your time. And I can't wait for other women to hear this. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I feel so honored to be here. And yeah, I really appreciate your podcast. And I really, really, truly don't think I would have had as positive of an experience as I did and feel as passionate about birth now as I do. I absolutely love it. And yeah, I recommend it to every single person that tells me they're pregnant.
Well, thank you for saying all of that. And it happens. I didn't know I was going to get into birth work until I started having babies. And then I had a really great experience. So once you're hooked, you're hooked.
If you loved what you heard today, the very best way to support this podcast and help other moms to find it is to leave a quick review. I read one at the beginning of the episodes, and I would love for yours to be next. And if you're ready for even more pregnancy, birth, and postpartum goodness, come join me in the My Essential Birth course at myessentialbirth.com, where I will hold your hand and walk you through pregnancy and birth step by step so you're totally prepared for a birth you'll love. See you next week.